Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. When I was a little girl, my father asked me, he said, "Umbreen, what do you want to be when you grow up?" And I was very little, I was about 5 years old. And I said, "I want to be a surgeon." And then he said, "Why?" And I said, "I want to help people." And then he said, "But Umbreen, you have one arm, do you think you can do it? You need two arms." And I said, "Why not? I can do it." And he said, "That's good. That's good that you feel that you can do it." And he never stopped me from doing anything that I wanted to do. The point is, he asked me about my goal in life. And when I was little, I said, "I want to help people." And even now, that's what my goal is. And I want to share something with you that I hope it'll help you. Now, people are a product of their times. When you look around you and you see what's going on in the world right now, people react to that. And that's how they live their lives. So there are two ways you can live. You can live according to what you want to do, or you can live according to what you have to do. And that is where your goal comes in. People, a lot of people I see around me, I don't know what their goals are. When I look at them, they're concerned about their lives. They're concerned about little problems they have in their lives. And when I hear them talk, they don't talk about anything except that this happened to me or she said something. And I think that's a small problem compared to what's going on in the world. You have so many people who are going hungry, and then you have people here who are throwing away their food. You have people who, they sit on the ground to learn, to go to school. They don't have a building. And yet you have some people who don't go to school to learn. And they say they'd rather fail. And sometimes they're happy that they failed. And I think, why are they wasting their lives like this? Because it is a waste. Everybody has intelligence. Everybody has a mind. And I believe that you should use it. You should use it for what's good. But then the question comes, what is good? And you have to dig deep and you have to search. And one principle that I have in life is to accept nothing but the truth. Even if it means you have to stay awake all night to read something and get a message from a book. Or you have to spend your days outside in the cold, standing under a light reading something or waiting for someone who can give you a message. But in the end, you have to realize that you're here for a purpose. And you can't live for yourself to the point where you live to do only what you want to do, only what you like. Life is much higher than that. And the best thing to do is live for an ideal. And to live for an ideal, it means you have to find something in life that you can attach yourself to, something higher than just something higher than just making yourself happy. It has to go beyond that. It has to go beyond the present. It has to go into the future. And what I learned is that when you attach yourself to something that is very high and you go for that, that is what will give you happiness. And for people, it's different things. And then you realize why you are here. And you ask yourself, what am I doing here? What am I here for? And you have to realize that you're not here just to live and die. There's something beyond that. And when you search, people search for different things, and they go through different religions, they go through different philosophies, and some people get lost. But for me, I realized that here you have a purpose. You were created. You were created by a creator. And this creator has some expectations for you. He has some goals for you. You weren't sent here and then left to live on your own. Your creator didn't create you and then turn away from you. He expects something from you. And you have to go and search to see what it is that he wants from you. Once you find out what it is, that's your goal. And your goal is for the creator. That's an easy question. I would be a girl, a young woman. But at the same time, I'm a human being. And I have someone above me. I have my creator above me. And what I have to do is look to my creator. He's the one who sent me here. He's the one who raised me. You could say that your parents raised you, but Allah was always there. Allah was there when I took my first steps. Allah was there when I learned to talk. And Allah is there with me now. And He will always be there with me. People will go away.
How old are you?
I'm 22.
Where are you from?
I'm from Pakistan. I'm born in America.
I heard you have one R.
Yes, I was born with one arm.
Are you happy?
Yes.
Why? You are minus one arm.
I never felt that there was a minus. I never felt that there was anything that I couldn't do. And alhamdulillah, it's because Allah surrounded me with people who never made me feel that I was anything less. And then I used to wear a prosthesis, an artificial limb, and I used to wear it. People used to stare at me, but I wouldn't say anything, and I wouldn't feel bad. And then one day, I realized that Allah created me this way, and if I wear the prosthesis, I'm hiding myself. I'm hiding who I really am. And then I decided I'm not going to wear it anymore, because this is how Allah created me, and this is how I want people to see me. And then for a while I wouldn't wear it when I used to go outside, but then Allah did something. One day it broke by itself, and since then I haven't worn it, and I haven't felt the need to, although some people tell me, Umbreen, why don't you get one? I said, no, I don't have to make excuses for who I am. And if Allah gave me this, then this is how I want to be. I don't want to have a surgery where I can have a new limb, they take it off somebody else's arm and they give it to me. No, I don't want that. Because this is how Allah sent me, and this is how I want to stay.
Are you happy?
Yes.
Are you content?
I'm content with what Allah has given me.
But many people in your condition will be upset and look to another girl and compare. What make you have this feeling?
One time I was in the train and I walked in and I sat down, and this Chinese lady, she used to work with the church, and she looked at me and she said, you know, I noticed that you don't have a left arm, but yet when you walked into the train you were so confident and you looked so confident. And I work with girls who they have everything, but for some reason they're depressed. They have two arms, they have two legs, they have everything, they're beautiful, but then deep down inside they have something in them, they're empty. And I said, I never felt empty that way, because Allah never, every time I would have a problem, Allah showed me a way to fix it. Every time I had an issue, if I couldn't do something one way, I was shown a different way. And so I never felt that I'm less than anyone because of that, because every time there was something wrong, Allah showed me a different way to do it right.
If somebody look at you, what message do you think you have in your face and your voice and your personality?
I think that message is of understanding. to accept people the way they are, in the sense that when you look at someone, don't judge them by the way they look, but look into their heart and see if they're good people. And when you see this goodness in them, you be happy for them, and then you be with them, be their companion, be their friends. Because you can benefit from that person, and that person can benefit from you. And I believe that if I didn't have this arm, maybe I would have been mean to people, because I would have thought myself better than them. But because I don't have my arm, I'm more compassionate to other people. I like to help other people. And I want people to... I don't want people to feel that they're any less because of the way they are.
What is the message you want to give to people when they see you and hear you now?
It's a deep message that there's a lot of badness in the world, and there's a few good people, very few good people. And you have to make the decision if you want to be good or if you want to be bad. You have to make the decision if you want to benefit people, if you want to be remembered as a good person. Because in history, if you look, you see a lot of people who did many things, and they're remembered for them. You have good rulers and you have bad rulers. But they did something, they left their mark in this world. And you want to know if the mark that you leave on this world will be good or bad. And the only one who can help you do this is Allah. Because once you want something, and you want it very badly, desperately, Allah will give it to you. If it's good, and sometimes even if it's bad. But in the end, it's a lesson for you, to what you do, and what you want from life, and what you want to give to everyone else.
Tell us a little bit about you and your journey in life. How you come to this conclusion?
Well, when I grew up, I wasn't religious. I didn't really pray, and I didn't know much about the sunnah. I would learn some hadith from my father. He would tell me when I was younger, but I didn't actually start praying until I was about 15. And once I started praying, I remember the first time, and I didn't get it right, and I started crying because I was upset with myself. I had some expectations. I thought I could do it. And then when I didn't, I started crying. And then my mom told me, she said, "Umbreen, the point is you tried. And wait, you'll get it eventually." And so I did. I got it eventually. And I would pray every day. And during this time, I would always ask Allah to make me better. But it wasn't something like a connection. There was always a certain distance between me and Allah. And then one day, I heard that a relative of mine passed away. And this relative was very close to me, so I didn't know how to handle it. And the only thing that I could think of was to turn to Allah, because I didn't know, I couldn't tell anyone what I was feeling. Nobody would understand. It's not something, sometimes your emotions are so heavy that you can't explain them. But Allah is the one who knows everything, and Allah is the one who knows what's in your heart. So I turned to Allah in my dua, in my prayers, in my thoughts, in my heart. And I would always cry to Him, and I would say, "Allah, when will this pain end? When? What can I learn? What do you want from me after this? What can I do?" And I started reading, and I started reading many books. I started going to different lecturers. And I learned a lot, but it still wasn't enough. There was still something empty. There was still a hole. And then one day, in college, my friend introduced me to her teacher. And it was a meeting of chance, I felt, because I was going home, and she was going home, I thought. And then she told me, no, she's going to a lecturer. So I said, okay, I'll come with you. I want to see what this is about, because I've been to many. And then when I met this teacher, he asked me, what is your name? What is your age? And where are you from? And so I told him this, and I was a little confused as to why he asked me. And then it was time for prayer, it was time for Maghrib. After we prayed, he began to talk. He began to talk about sincerity, about cleaning your heart, and also about death, about patience, about what Allah wants from you once He takes something from you. And this is where I learned, this is where I realized what Allah wanted from me. He wanted me to be aware of Him. Allah wanted me to know Him. And Allah can do it in different ways. He can give you a blessing, He can give you a gift, or He can take away something from you. But in the end, it's to show you that yes, there is someone higher than you. There is someone there who you do not see but sees you and controls everything. Because death is not within anyone's control. And when I realized this, when I sat through this lecture, it cleansed me, because I realized what Allah wanted from me. And when I went home that night, I was calm. I was calm after 7 months. And there was a feeling there. I realized it was as if a door had opened for me. A door that was previously closed, but because I couldn't see. And what Allah did, He showed me His power through this death, and then He showed me His mercy. Allah showed me that what a blessing it is to know Him. And now that this person had passed away, I wanted to do something for this person in his death. And the best thing that you can do is to please Allah. Because pleasing Allah, if you please Allah, then Allah will be for you. And He will give you what you want. If you love Allah and Allah loves you, then He will listen to you. And so I realized the best thing I can do for myself and for anyone else is that I have to please Allah. And I have to be for Allah. But not in the way that most people think. There is prayer, there's fasting, there's charity. But then this awareness that you are a creation of your Lord. This awareness that Allah is there and Allah is your Lord and He's taking care of you and He has taken care of you in the past and He will continue to do that in the future. This is the awareness that we need in our daily lives. Once we realize this, once we realize that Allah is our Rabb, that He's the one who's the cherisher, then when we act, our actions will be based upon what Allah wants from us. It'll be based on wisdom, it'll be based on goodness.
When somebody hear you now, why this person would be benefit from you, or why the person will hear you and you can affect this person, he or she, young and old? What is the message in your heart? What do you want to share with the people, Muslim and non-Muslim?
For Muslims and non-Muslims, I will say that you'll come across many different ideas in your life. You'll come across different philosophies, and some people will, they go in circles with philosophies. And if you really want to benefit from what I have to say, it's that you have to accept the truth. You have to search for the truth and you have to be honest. And then you'll realize that there's a creator. And Allah will guide you and He will accept you. But only if you're desperate for this knowledge. Only if you don't want to play games. Only if you don't want to be smart with anyone. You have to want Allah. You have to want the truth. And that's the only way Allah will accept you. Because once you're desperate for something, then you're given it.
What happens if somebody asks you, I'm weak, I did not reach this level?
Then you have to try. And you have to keep trying. And sometimes it means you have to talk to yourself. And you have to tell yourself that yes, I'm weak. Yes, I don't have certain abilities. I can't do this, I can't do that. But then you have to realize that Allah knows this as well. And if Allah knows this, then Allah can also fix it. Allah can change it for you. Even if it means showing you a different way to do something.
It's many recording in YouTube and Google and all over. Many people try to give the same message you give. What is the difference between your message and other people's message? And what do you think, what is special inside of you, you want to share it with people?
Many people, like you said, they do have their speeches and they have their lectures. But me, I'm a simple person. I come from a nice family and a good background, alhamdulillah. And if I were to give you a message, it would be to be straight, to be honest with yourself and with others. Because when you search for the truth, you can't have something in your heart. When I was searching for Allah, when I was looking for the truth, I had nothing else in my mind. Nothing else during the day, nothing else during the night. Once you're desperate for this kind of knowledge, then you'll get it. And it doesn't matter if the person has really nice talk or if they don't know how to speak very well in their language. You will benefit from them based on what you want. You'll gain from them what you need based on what you want from Allah.
Young, old, male and female, what message you want to give them? What's something from your heart you want to share? Deep from your heart, according to your life experience. And the minus.
It would be to just ask Allah. Ask Allah for what? For the truth. Because once you take the first step in asking from Allah, then He'll come to you. But for young and for old, it's never too late to search for the truth. And when you ask, you will get.
As a young girl now, you're in college, and a lot of girls in your age won't get married. What is your advice for yourself and for them?
I believe that marriage is, it's like your provision, and that it is your qadr. If you get married, you'll get married. If you don't, you don't. Because many people live, many people die. They die young, they die old. Sometimes they don't marry, sometimes they die even before they get married. And marriage is something that, again, it's not in your hands. It's in the hands of Allah, like everything else. What you have to focus on is that you have to ask Allah, oh Allah, make me good, and make the person who I may marry, make that person good as well. or make that person better than me, or make that person a cause of me getting closer to you. This is what you really want, because you have to look towards the future. You can't just say, oh, I want to marry this person because I like this person, or this person looks nice. That's good, but then once when you get old, what's going to happen? There has to be something there. And you have to have something in common with that person, a common goal. Because if you have two different goals, then you won't be able to live together. But again, for those who want to get married, you have to ask Allah first. If you find someone that you like, ask Allah. Do istikhara. Some type of consultation with Allah. Oh Allah, if this person is good for me, then allow it to happen. If not, then turn my heart away from this person.
What kind of good men or good women are you looking for? And what advice to people?
What do you mean?
If I'm a female now, I am looking for a man. What I'm looking for? What kind of husband I'm looking for? What qualification?
You want someone who will be able to support you in your deen, support you in getting closer to Allah. You want someone who understands your love of Allah and respects that, and someone who will help you attain goodness between you and Allah. You want to find someone who will listen to you when you have a problem. Someone who will not command you to do things, but talk to you and consult with you. You want someone who can, you want someone who won't turn you away from Allah.
How you can get all this from young man like you? He's young and he doesn't have it.
What do you
can
mean?
We get somebody and we said we grow together?
If that person, if you find someone and this person is not that close to Allah or doesn't feel that he's close to Allah, then you have to find out first if he wants it. If he wants to be close to Allah, if he really wants it. And again, you have to do istikhara. And you have to ask Allah, oh Allah, is this person good? And you have to always turn to Allah in these kind of cases. And for someone like that, again, there has to be some type of understanding between you and that person. Even if it means having a conversation and finding out what he wants to do in life. Because you'll find out through a person's manner, through the way he talks, through his tone of voice, what he really is about. And based on this perception, you'll be able to tell if he's serious about his goal in life with Allah.
Is any special message from you to the whole Ummah?
To the whole Ummah, I would say that look to the past. Read or learn about the history of the beginning of Islam, how it began. And then look to the conditions that we're in today. Look to the nations, look to the kings, look to the presidents. Look to how they're ruling, and look to how Rasulullah ﷺ would command the people, how he would rule among them. And if you want to learn something from the past, is that Islam had very humble beginnings. There were a few people, and they didn't fight the way we fight now. What we have, what people call Islam today, or at least the people who are fighting, in my opinion, that's not Islam. Because Islam is not about terror. Religion is not about dividing people. The whole point of Islam was to join people to Allah. And this is something that we forget. That when we look to each other, or when we look to what people are doing, we would rather see the differences amongst us. we don't think, what do we have in common? What can we do to benefit each other? What can we do to benefit the world? Because when Islam came, when it came even after the Prophet ﷺ passed away, it brought a lot of knowledge. It brought a lot of blessings to the nations that they conquered. And the people were weak. The people of Rome, of Byzantium, of the Persians. When they conquered these areas, these people were thirsty. And they were thirsty for something that would be greater than them, something that will bring them out of the poverty they were in, out of the despair that their rulers gave them. And Islam brought that. It brought knowledge. It brought knowledge and it brought them prosperity. This is what Islam was. If you look now and you see Islam, or the way it's being portrayed by the media, by even the Muslims themselves, either we're apologizing to everyone or we're telling them, no, this is how we are, we want everyone to be like us. And it's not going to be that way. We have to learn to accept our differences, as in lakum dinukum waliyadin, and make dua. Make dua to Allah, that O Allah guide these people, and you are the best of the ones who guide.
Can we do all this and we have no quality and no knowledge and no manner and no character?
No. Again, you have to learn. We can't do all this unless we have quality. We have to have manner. And we have to have this relationship with Allah. You can't be good unless you know the one who is good. And that's Allah. And you can't expect yourself to do something unless you have Allah with you. And you can't expect to change people, you can't expect to benefit other people unless Allah is the one who is behind you, who's guiding you. And Allah is the one who is giving you this ability to benefit other people. So it's not about just about the knowledge. It's about your heart as well.
I heard you have a lot of wisdom and a lot of old poem and stuff like that, you know. Do you have something you want to share with people, some wisdom? Something special from your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Something people to remember.
There is one verse in a poem, and it's about people who have... In our hearts, we have a lot of problems. We have a lot of issues going on in our lives. But this verse is from a poem. It's in Urdu. And the verse is, Unke nisar koi kaise hi ranj mein ho, jab yaad aa gaye ho sab gham bula diye hain. And this means, the one who is in love with him, how can he be in pain? When he remembers him, all of his sadness is forgotten. And this verse is obviously about Allah. When you remember Allah, and you love Allah, and you remember this love of Allah, you forget the sadness you have in your life. Why? Because you know, you realize that Allah is the one who is watching you, and he knows that you have these problems, and he's the one you know can help you. And even if he doesn't take away your pain the way you want it to be taken away, just knowing that Allah is there and that he knows what's going on. And if you realize that there's something at the other side for you, then this feeling, this is what gives you strength to go on. And so, my last and final message for everyone is that, yes, I may have been a little confusing in this talk, But I want you to realize that you need your Creator. You need Allah in every aspect of your life and every moment of your life. When you're happy, when you're sad, you have to remember Allah. And Allah will remember you. And Allah is the best one to be your friend, or whom you can take as your friend. Because you can tell everyone your problems, but the only one who can solve them is Allah. You can share your happiness with everyone, but what is it if you don't share it with the one who gave it to you? You can thank everyone for what they've given you, but the only way you've gotten is because Allah gave it to you. And finally, you don't forget that one day we will all die. We're all going to leave this world. Either we're going to be young or we're going to be old. And you're going to meet your Creator one day. And you have to have something to say to Him. And you have to have done something where you can go to Allah and say, Allah, I tried for you. And I did this for you. And even though I made so many mistakes, please forgive me and accept what I could do for you. And go to Allah with love. Go to Allah with the hope that He will accept you. Because Allah said, I will be to my slave as he thinks of me. So yes, fear Allah. But fear Allah not because of the punishments. Fear Allah because you don't want to get Him angry over something that you did. Because Allah is the one you're supposed to love. You're supposed to love with all your heart. And the fear that a person has when he loves someone is the fear of upsetting that person. It's not so much that you want to be, your fear that he'll hurt you, but just that you don't want to hurt that person. And similar with Allah. If you fear Allah so that, oh Allah, I don't want to do anything that'll make you upset with me. And love Allah. And love Allah and say, Allah, I have many sins. I have many weaknesses. But I'm trying for you. And that's all we have to do in life. We have to try. Success and happiness is with Allah.
Somebody may say, you have a chance and you meet somebody to help you. What happens if I have nobody to help me?
That won't happen. You can't say that there's nobody to help you, because if you ask Allah and you really want help, Allah will send it to you. Either He'll send it to you as a person or as an experience in your life. But Allah will always send something to help you. And you make dua. And you ask Allah. And one more thing, Allah is the one who helps. Allah is the one who helps. He's al-wali, He's al-wakil. He is the one who you should turn to. And when He wants to, He will send you help. This is who Allah is. May Allah accept me. May Allah accept what I have to say. And may Allah put barakah on what I say. And so that even if I said something that you didn't understand, may Allah put understanding in it for you. And may you be guided by Allah. And may you find success in this life and the hereafter with Allah. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم